everybody. Good evening. Rachel.
Everybody, we're gonna get started.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Ashley Griffin, and I'm an office assistant with BU AFAM. Thank you for all coming out tonight. We will have three performers speak. First will be Dev Blair, and then Jessica Samuel, and then Lanaig Bogues. These performers will speak about how they navigate their various identities and attempt to self-identify in a world that relies so heavily on labels, whether those be race labels, gender labels, or any other kind of identity labels. As a nation, we are becoming more aware of gender, race, and class issues, and as we become more aware of these issues around us, it's becoming increasingly popular for people to coin new terms to try to navigate all of these different intersections. An event like this is so important for our BU community to me because it allows students a safe space to be heard and to connect with their fellow students. First off is Dev Blair, a self-described storyteller, activist, and content creator. They are a junior in CFA studying theater arts. You may know them as a co-founder for the hashtag Poor at a Private University movement or from the other spoken word events on campus. All of their work from writing to performance is in service of their primary artistic goal, to change the culture. Please join me in welcoming Dev Blair.
Hello, y'all. Good to see y'all. I like to do a little bit of an introduction before I just start doing my thing. So I'm just gonna talk for a brief second about what my poetry means to me. A lot of my poetry is largely autobiographical. I kind of use spoken word as a way of talking about myself, and so this event was kind of perfect because I was like, okay, identity, like that's all I'm doing is unpacking my identity in my poems. And so today I'm going to start off with a poem that's entitled My Gender and Sexuality 1, an Intersectional Introduction, or DS 101. Three white ladies once tried to teach me about gender and sexuality. That's the setup and the punchline. Queer, non-binary, femme. Somehow those three words are supposed to represent my whole experience. Somehow they can tell you what I've been through, how long I'll live, how likely I am to get HIV. I storm out of the halls of sociological academia with a question. How can I find freedom within a label that wasn't created for someone like me? Can queer, non-binary, or femme describe what kind of person I'll be? I say those three words and y'all think that y'all know me. You've got all the stats on someone who just wants to be free. White people have done something with language that I think is truly disgusting. They've denied us the space to create words that allow us to acknowledge our blackness alongside our sexual behavior or our gender identity. See, the biggest flaw of human language is that we dare to believe that organized sound could capture the smell and taste of my grandmother's gumbo on the second day. See, before we got colonized, I was that gumbo. I was food for the soul. I was magic, a healer, a prophet. Asa Shunamir saved Ishtar, bitch, but y'all threw us in the ditch. And when you heard our cries, you decided that our language was a glitch. When you came, you brought violence, your actions and your words. You cut out and discarded our tongues, shoved a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant's nest down our throats with your English, and told us what we could call ourselves. Y'all labeled us black, poor, developing, and forgot to create words for the most magical among us. Or maybe you tried, but when you did, your dictionary caught fire as it experienced the rage of our ancestors. See, the truth is, we're too much for you. Too hard to define, too mystic to categorize. You reduced behavior to identity, and in our hearts, our former selves cried. I'm the fucking avatar, the last me on earth. I hate queer. I hate non-binary. I hate these terms painted with a white veneer that we call umbrellas, but refuse to acknowledge me, standing here at an intersection steeped in years and years of history, tradition, and culture, all erased out of fear that you couldn't control them. Nowadays, we talk about reclaiming my time, but how do I reclaim that which was never mine? How do I reconcile within me an identity that was never made for me? There aren't even words for this feeling I'm experiencing right now as I speak. I'm jealous of indigenous people, native cultures. At least they can remember their words, connect to their language, and know what to call themselves. Hijra, Two-Spirit, Fafafine. People still try to call me a drag queen, okay? When I speak of all these labels as things that I hate, it's because my black ass ain't wanna assimilate. In prayer, my ancestors are the ones I venerate, thanking them for the years of good gumbo I ate and the wealth of stories I demonstrate to the world to keep the colonizer from obliterating my history. I don't want to abolish labels because I think we're all the same. I just want to rid myself of the labels that reduce me to less than a name. What's in a name? Queer is the Alyssa Edwards tongue pop. Like hood girls didn't come up with that shit first. Like anything popped louder than when Miss Marsha and her friends popped officers upside the head with bricks for trying to interfere with lives they had no control over. Non-binary is this thin white male just destroyed gender by wearing a 1-inch boot heel. Headlines screaming loud as hell, only I can't hear that shit over the sounds of black trans bodies being destroyed at the hands of our own lovers. Dev Blair is this. Dev Blair is me. I am Dev Blair. I will ascend to the nomenclature, a bold claim made true because people like me create the culture. My name will become synonymous with what you call queer, non-binary femme, and black as hell too. I'm not saying Sam Smith may be not non-binary, but how can you look at their experience and use the same word to define mine? I got a post-colonial language barrier, goddamn. The concept of post-coloniality says I can't unstir the jam and fam, I'm tired of pretending that's good enough. Yeah, so that gender and sexuality class, I dropped that shit after 3 weeks. So that poem was largely a response to a certain gender and sexuality class that I took at a certain university, I wonder where, in which I was struggling with the fact that I was being taught about my various parts of my identity as though I didn't understand them just by virtue of living them. And so that frustration led to me creating that poem. Next, I want to do a poem that I call Curls, and that's dealing with a different part of my identity. It's really specifically talking about my relationship to hair. And this piece, I do want to give you a bit of a content warning, does deal with some talk of depression. For a long time, I didn't quite understand the term natural. See, I knew that curls grew from my scalp naturally, and I also understood that I could see my curls intertwine and lock beautifully if I ever stopped trying to cop Britney's 07 hairdo every time I have a breakdown. But what I didn't get was how we could name our curls something so deeply personal and meaningful, natural, as if to make them sound normal, mundane, or palatable. See, I don't want my curls to be something you can stomach, another vaguely ethnic dish for white eyes to consume. My curls are something your combs cannot tame, your brushes cannot beat back, and your razors cannot cut down. My curls are twisted and kinky, and they like to play rough. Relaxers hide their faces in shame when they see my curls, getting clowned on in workplaces for their lack of game, their own failure to play aces, ultimately to blame for their inability to run bases and tame my militant curls. Like men disappoint me, so too do relaxers disappoint my curls, inviting them in with promises of beauty and a future. They leave them desolate and lifeless after extracting every ounce of magic and joy from their being. Slinking down the drain, they take my curls' hopes and dreams and parts of themselves with them. Capitalizing on my curls' labor and my curls' abuse, relaxers are like men to me, suitors that preach and preen over how faithful they'll be, only to treat our unruliness as a liability. White cream slathered on black curls like white men slobbering over black girls, suffocating them with their emotional unavailability, then leaving them a little more broken than they were found, even though it's been years since they were chained and bound to Eurocentricity's straight and narrow middle passage. Post-colonial as in post-relaxer, as in post-heartbreak, post-breakup, post-modernism. This is a poem posted like a notice on every door and Facebook wall saying that I'm better off without them. And so are my curls. My beauty is achieved, not defaulted. My strength is earned, but not exalted unless it can be used to turn a profit. My pretty smells of hard work and healthy routines learned from unhealthy habits and a history of hurt. My curls shine with a radiance not natural nor innate, but learned from every trial that turned out to be a mistake. She must learn to love themselves, because others don't care to take the time to learn how to love me. My curls have got it unlocked, because when I unlocked my heart for you, instead of with it, you ran away with the key, and so now only rage spills out, with no kiss to fix it or stop it up. With each beat of my thoroughly disappointed heart, the rage rushes to my ears, breaking every part of myself I curated like fine art. As I crumble into sadness, the blood pounds with the barking madness of hellhounds bounding after their query for you. Did it feel good to waste my time? Before the answer can be found, my innocence dies like the virgin Harry, killed by sounds in my head of you're undesirable and you'll never marry, and I am left limp and wet and barely recognizing. Solange wrote a catchy song about it. See, y'all get it already, right? But see, you don't. Because my curls are not just the feelings I wear, but the product of the pain I bear, and the parts of myself I refuse to share, and the things I talk about in prayer. I am not natural. Neither are my curls. We are more than you could ever hope to call natural. After all, what is natural about a body ravaged by the politics of desirability? See, love is a battlefield, and my body is the site of the war. Y'all come into my life, fuck shit up, then call me a whore. So now I can't sleep. I can't rest or lay down, and neither can my curls. And girls, that's how we get our razor sharp edges. From pain so intense, we can't even weep. That's why I shave my head like I'm shearing a goddamn sheep. So if you want my curls, know that the price is steep. Don't hurt me so deep that I can't keep myself together. If you can avoid that, and ease my bleeding heart. Help me heal from the times I fell apart. Then, and only then, do you deserve to look upon my curls. Now I'm gonna do something that I actually, this will be my first time performing this rose poem. This one's still sitting in my drafts. It hasn't been published or anything. But another label that I wrestle a lot with is the label of angry. Something that I feel I am called quite often. You know, I've got some thoughts about that. So here's a poem entitled The Incredible Hulk. Once I heard a story of a white dude with a brilliant brain, conducting science experiments in the desert, and what did he gain? Gamma rays lit him up, and now a big green guy shows up whenever the white dude's anger makes him come unchained. What's the white guy's secret? Well, of course, he's always angry. But imagine what would happen if the scientist was black. Man, a comic of that would be packed with more facts than a Mac. Now that we've established that, let me do a little introducing. Hi, how are you? My name's Revolution. I am the one who calls smoke when y'all spark fires and fan the flames. The one you blame, the one who claps back with not a modicum of shame. It's war out here every day, and I walk around with armor. It's a little too much, people say, but I gotta survive the battle in every fucked up way y'all bring it to me. I see white faces play what they think are aces and tell me what the cards are like I can't read them. Y'all call me angry like there's a problem with that, when really the problem is I won't have kids because this world thinks I don't need them. No black babies, no black bodies. Yeah, the revolution won't be televised. Not till television sets are filled with the jet black beauty of a people that gotta fight to survive every day. Hey, were you there when that white lady called me aggressive? It sung like some long metaphor. I bit on my cheeks till my mouth was sore. Or maybe that's because I've had to dick suck my way to a BFA. So that's the real metaphor. My gay ass whoring myself out for white bitches who ain't got half my clout. People want me for my diversity. To hell with my artistry, no. They just see what they want to see. And that only includes me if I'm tap dancing gleefully. It goes step, kick, ball, chains, nice Negro smile, and a handshake. Shit tastes worse than that potato salad that your mom made. And I'm out here feeling pressure to police myself. So the real assholes won't do it for me. I gotta use points of exclamation and text conversations to make sure you, the self-proclaimed rulers of this nation, don't think I'm threatening your subjugation. And the sad part is, y'all hear this and think I'm invincible. Y'all think I can protect myself with just strong principles, but the principal emotions in my life are anger and pain. To y'all, this is all just some fucked up game. Screw me over till I'm strung out and drained. The only people having fun are the people responsible for driving me insane. I get to have my fun when my mouth finally stops aching from advocating for myself, and my tongue finally tastes words that are sweet, even if they're drenched in chloroform to pacify these great white sharks. See, my tongue is sharp, my fists are quicker, bottles make it worse, so I don't drown my pain in liquor. My dehumanization begins when you think I don't bleed when you cut me. So now I gotta weaponize my wounds to get y'all to recognize my realness. Do y'all feel this? I rage as I try to burn down the cage of an open channel force shut, growling like some crazy mutt. Apologies slipping from their lips like I'm sipping their piss and saying it tastes like Mountain Dew. And I bet if y'all lived like this, your white ass would be pissed too. When y'all call me angry, I ain't upset because you're wrong. I get upset because when you sing that song, it becomes number one on a long list of stereotypes y'all use to simplify my story. When I'm the one trying to climb the charts, y'all got me out here hating on parts of myself, who y'all keep telling me to be, but that's always too much beauty for you to appreciate. I'd like to think that even in the face of death, I'd still unapologetically be myself. Must be why I'm so good at being me, because I face down death every day just for trying to live free. Yeah, so the green monster lives in me, just like it lives in Banner. The difference is when a white dude's mad, we don't say he's got bad manners. I'm taking back my anger, reclaiming it for the revolution. Fuck y'all if y'all think liberal peace is the solution. I might get through the war with a couple of scratches and a battle scar, but hey, it's like my mom says, I didn't come this far just to come this far.
Thank you so much for that. Next up, we have Jessica Samuel. She's a PhD candidate in American Studies. I'm sorry. She studies education, race, and colonialism. A native of St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands, Jessica has published two poems, Unforgotten and Call It By Its Name, as well as an editorial piece called White Gaze Runs Deep from the U.S. Virgin Islands to McKinney. Without further ado, Ms. Jessica Samuels.
All right, so this is really awesome. It is a pleasure to be here this evening. I have not performed poetry in like over a year, so I'm really excited to share some of my older pieces and also my newer pieces. I have four pieces I have tonight, and the first two I will be reading off of my phone, and the last two I have memorized. And you know, I know the theme is identity, and so I've kind of ran with that quite loosely. I think my identity, by and large, you all know, is like really wrapped up in my blackness, obviously. My womanness, my islandness, my Caribbeanness, and all of the things. And so you'll see a lot of that come through. This first piece is entitled Matrimony, and I'm dedicating this piece to Black Panther. I'm sure if many of you have seen the movie, you know how revolutionary it is for a number of reasons. It's quite riveting. And although I wrote this piece 2 years ago, I find it to still be super relevant. And yeah, so this is it. We are gathered here today to show out, to show our black asses. Time and time again, we've overlooked the reprehensible conditioning of our masses, but today, that shit ends. Now, we don't mean to offend, but then again, we kinda do. We just think it's best you take a seat on this one, boo. We kindly appreciate your withholding of any recommendations as we take this time to reformat our very black nation. Like I said, we've gathered here to show out. We've gathered here to give you more than just a measly pout. We are here so that you may see that the gap is no longer widening between me and we. You see, our sense of self is no longer your debate. neither is our internalization of diasporic hate. It's been abated, castrated, them old divisive tactics, nigga. Those are outdated. And so we are gathered here today, resistant to any sway, unable to take part in any foreplay because this revolution is happening raw. And we've surpassed our last very straw. We are here to be all of our very black selves, to be free, to be us audaciously. Unapologetic in all intent, this shit is scripted within the cement. Having done all else, we do this with all haughtiness and with all might. Our indomitable spirit of slay is here to put up a fight. And you may show up to this here matrimony. We'll allow you to bear witness to our celestial black glory. Because today, we gather here to tear shit up as we simply no longer give a fuck. The second piece. This second piece is related to romance and love. And for those of y'all who know me, you know I always have something to say about it. And I think it's super important that, you know, as people who are single, we take up the singledom, you know, as an opportunity to really explore ourselves and to kind of refine some of our desires and expectations. And so this piece is coming out of a place of having had enough with just like broke ass lame ass niggas. And I think that it is also, that's a lot, right? And so usually when things are a lot for me, you hear like my very deep Virgin Islander Crucian accent. And so kind of like linking those two passions together, this piece is wrote in dialect. And it's called No Humbug. I can't take it. Da rah-rah ting, da back and forth, and always akin. I don't want it. That backwards folly, that roughhouse musing, that they just misnamed Jolly. I can't bother with that up and down, that wrong and wrong, that soundless sound. I don't want it. Me want the headache, me want the worries, and me want the fake. I can't deal with all that extra, extra, that hapless drama. This ain't no newspaper. I refuse it. That is cause I love you. That stop tripping, boo. That lay just be me and you. I refuse it. To be thrown and to be flung. I refuse that fuckery and all the humbug. Done. Okay. This next piece is a newer piece, and it is pretty straightforward, I think, in terms of like what I'm doing here. And my pieces are all pretty straightforward, and I think, at least. And so this one is called Ratatat, and it's about, you know, like black love and black pride, and just like being super direct about that and all. So, Ratatat. Oh, the joys of being black, of being me, of not giving a rat-a-tat-tat. Why must I be forced to whisper my blackness in the middle of your hallways, at the corner of your streets, even at the intersections of your railways? Why must I be meek about how much I love the hell out of me? Please show me the equation where loving myself loudly amounts to your hate. I suspect the only expression you'll find is my love in an absolute state. Why must I speak of my blackity, blackness in gentle submission. Easy not to offend, not to disturb, but rather to participate in my own deadly omission. Listen, if only your ass knew, boo-boo the fool, how loving all of me simply makes for more of you. Thank you. Okay, so this last piece actually came to me like in the middle of my sleep. And it's really wild, I know, yes, but it happens where I just like wake up and I just have to like write things out. And it's super, super new and it's super complicated. And I think like I've written this piece in like first person future conditional some shit, right? It's like that kind of thing. And I think it comes out of like where I am right now, this journey of being a doctoral student. In this university, in like a predominantly white, you know, program, and just like all of the struggles of being black and being woman, and like the era of Trump also. And so I think I find myself often really ready to like move on to the next thing and like be done with this shit, you know, like I'm done with this stage or this phase. And I think that there's something to be said about being present. And so I think this poem is a kind of call to action for myself. If Jessica, the Jessica that I have yet to meet or know, were to talk to me, I wonder, you know, what would she say and how would she treat me and show me how to better love me? And so this is that. It is called Unknown Woman, if you were not. If you were now a known woman, you tell me not to rush the journey and not to lean too hard on those who just didn't know how to hold me. If you were now a known woman, you tell me to take the long way home, to take full stock of my bare body and to love my every bone. If you were now a known woman, you'd remind me that I am dust, but that I should never be afraid of ashes. You tell me that I was fragile and that I was transient, like the life of a baby's lashes. If you were now unknown woman, you'd urge me to laugh like earthquakes rippled from my stomach, and to cry like streams dwell deep within me and like my tears were made of the sweetest honey. If you were now unknown woman, you take in the deepest breath and pour my best back into my lungs so that I could inhale bodies of all my songs that ever went unsung. If you were now unknown woman, you'd press your thumb into my chest and remind me that it's in this river I'll give birth and manifest my very best. If you were now unknown woman, you show my feet to me and tell me that I didn't need nobody to climb that tree with me. If you were now unknown woman, you'd rip fear out of my throat where it'd been stuck for far too long. You show me how my whole life was simply but the sweetest song. If you were now unknown woman, you'd anoint my heart with precious oil. You'd bless my body fully, and you'd plant me deeper in this soil. If you were now.
Thank you, Jessica. Last, but certainly not least, we have Lene Bogues. She is the master's student that I was reading earlier. She's a master's student in the African American Studies program, where she studies race and black feminist theory. Recently, she's been celebrating Black History Month through her social media accounts, where she's been doing hashtag 60 seconds of blackness. She was featured in a Be Today article, if you want to go check that out. Also, check her out on all of our social medias. She's been writing poetry since she was 7, and she tends to make a career in both academia and public sphere as a published author, speaker, and poet. Please welcome Miss Lene Bogues.
Hello, people. So as I heard the amazing poets before me, I was kind of deciding, like, ooh, do I want to change it up and say this or say that? But I'm going to stick to the habit of doing what I say I'm going to do. And so what I've come up with, I was given 15 minutes, and I was like, dang, like, that's a lot of time. So I have, like, 5 poems. Like, 3 of them are super short, but I'm going to try to take you on this story. And where I'm going, or how I'm relating the identity aspect, is Black women are, they're confined to a whole lot of narratives. But even in all these narratives, they are kind of in this ditch to where once they cannot express their sexuality or their emotion. Because on the white side of life, they're too sexual, they're too angry. And in their Black homes and their Black communities are where they have the most risk of being sexually exploited, or also considered angry, not allowed to express their emotion. So I'm not gonna get too deep into that, but that is where the premise lies, and one of my major research interests is the ability for Black intimacy. And so this culmination of poems tells the stories of me, of many women that I've had conversations with, and just kind of like, going from one spectrum, one end of the spectrum to the other, of how we deal with our intimacy and what we expect out of it. So this first piece is called One Night. Your conversation was easy. Your demeanor was pure. And though I had my doubts, your disposition was sure. Composure, there we are. And then you moved in closer, and I grasped my morality, but then you kissed me. And I wanted you. Intrigued by you, and your actions said that you felt the same, but I knew the consequence the sun would bring by the time the morning came. Yet by the time this was realized, we had already begun to fasten the soulless ties, and every time you looked down into my eyes, I felt your spirit collide with mine. I just want to be available when you come through my city. Hoping that your unanswered text messages mean you can't really describe how much you miss me, because I really miss you. And seldom do I ever write about men, and I'm not sure what you did to deserve the ink in my pen, but of all the men that I have waiting in line, I find that I only want to give you my time. But you are 963.1 miles away. And I probably think about you 963.1 times a day. So if ever again we are given the chance to cross paths once more and join in hands, can we dance? Can we dance? Can we dance? Can we dance like David danced? There it is. Guys, I'm so sorry. That was... just like, you know, women, we love hard, and there are people that we like to give all of our energy because of the things they don't say, the areas that we fill in the blanks. And then there comes the time when we start filling in the blanks for ourselves, and we're like, what was I putting up with? What was I allowing myself to experience? So does anyone know what the term nyctophilia means? Nyctophilia, not nectophilia, nyctophilia. It means a lover of darkness. So this is a letter to a lover of darkness. I have a question. What is it about my melanin that's so monumentally mesmerizing that it minimizes your capacity to exercise monogamy? What is it about my exterior that's so mysterious that you cannot make sense of loving it, Black man? Some call it a side bitch, a side chick. In my case, I was his dark little secret. And he hid his affinity from me in the wells of my skin cells and only drew from them when no one could witness. And in my darkness, let his raging carnal desires to know the unknown render his integrity shiftless. And instead of seeing me as a woman, he saw me as an entity of division and conquest, and therefore ruled out love and used manipulation and charm to find me undressed. And letting go of my inhibition, it made it easier for me to flow with you. So I would go to you and dare not open up my heart, so I opened up my throat to you. I opened up my body to you, let you in the lobby of my waiting room, and I gave you a master key to unlock an appointment with me, and you stepped into my office and presented yourself faultless. But black man, it would seem as though you're ashamed of me. Does my blackness represent the affliction blackness brings a black man, or does my darkness degrade the quality of who I am? No, my skin has been kissed by the sun, mirroring that of the fruit of honeybees, chocolate, maple syrup, cinnamon, and cocoa beans, yet and still in order for my skin tone to be acceptable, it must be equated with something that's edible. You know, something you can devour and disseminate, let pass and flush away. And in the depths of my subconscious, my self-confidence is haunted. Looking in the mirror at what I took years to refine, undermined by the preference of shade over time, and though the fetishes are flattering, I still find fault in the fact that fidelity and forever may never be for me. Wanting to offer more than just sexual comfort, wanting to be more than just another number, only offering you my body because I thought that's what I was supposed to do in order to be close to you, but I don't owe shit to you for being beautiful. Mm. And yes, I know my eyes, my lips, my thighs, and hips are all heaven sent, but if you look past my surface, you see so is my intelligence. So, don't call my phone when you don't want to be alone. Do not try to lose yourself in me when you're trying to be found, and don't hit me up when your girlfriend leaves out of town. Mm-hmm. No, I will not any longer be your dark little secret, and if your affection for me can only be temporary, then do me a favor and keep it. Right. And then after we stop being angry with ourselves, we always ask ourselves this question, like, what was I thinking? Why was I wasting my time with this dude? And then we ultimately have to ask, what is time? Time is this illusory concept that we aimlessly try to control. As it dips and delves in and out of our convenience and comfort, something to be lost to deities as dangerous as slumber. Something that renders us to an autonomous puppetry, something they'll try as we might, we just cannot keep. And knowing this, I cloaked my time and energy and handed it off to you. A dealer of sorts, a lover for sport, clever and strong, attractive and wrong, I did that. Gave you things I would never give back. Pretty things for no promise rings. Yet I knew, and I knew you. You said, I had to do what was best for me. And that's why I left you. It's cool, dog, I knew you couldn't love me the day that I met you. And then, I know I needed to practice this one, so let me just go ahead and get out the phone now. So we'll have another rewind. And then, we begin to understand what it is we need. That it's okay to love hard, as long as we get the reciprocation. So this piece is called Reciprocation. Is it too much to ask that you think me to be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen? That I might be your most awe-inspiring of awe-inspiring things? That you be honored and overjoyed just to be privileged to be next to me? That you would do such a small a thing as move mountains just to get to me? To think that I might not be perfect, but I could still make you nervous. That you would fashion apparatuses so I wouldn't have to lift a finger, that you would find new ways to emote so my heart would never linger. That you would build a house without walls for me so I wouldn't have to open doors. That you would worship the ground that I walk on because I promise I'd worship yours. Is it too much that you would adore me, to love none other but your mother and God, to enamor me in honesty and render me this against all odds? And trust me when I say I ask for you, I ask none of this from you without just cause. Because if it were up to me, I'd given you my rib to live, but that was up to God. And so this last piece is a letter I've written to my future husband. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you guys cry. I hope I'm making up for my fumble at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. You did, and then some.
So this one, like I said, I've written it to my future husband, someone who will give me all of those things and all the things I asked for. So I'm going to try this with music because I usually do it to music. If it doesn't work out, we'll cut it out.
It's going to work.
Okay.
Can I? Okay. Baby? Can I?
All you'll need to hear is the beat. Can you get that in the back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I? Maybe? Call you mine. Baby, can we intertwine and then unwind until the end of time? Baby, can I bask in your dominance as you revel at my prominence? Can we coexist in opulence? Can we? Baby, can I be engulfed in your infatuation until your infatuation is no more? Can your infatuation mature and grow and then you ultimately be transformed? Can we love and lust and build and trust to shatter walls and then open doors? Can you lean on me while I lean on you as we find balance at our cores? Can I love you so deeply, outright and indiscreetly that my eyes hang heavy with devotion? And can you love me so deeply and do it slow and do it easy that I may never, ever forget your emotions? Can you, baby, can we coincide lightly, argue but do it slightly? Can we forgive mistakes, forget the hate, learn from it, and move on just rightly? Can we bring ourselves, bring all our hell and see the God in it strong and mighty? And when all about us may seem grim, can you hold my hand just a little bit more tightly? And can I push you to dream and actualize your potential? Can you conquer your purpose and conquer my heart and not let it be coincidental? Can you conquer my soul with more aim to heal than be cute and sentimental? Can you? Baby, but can I risk my sanity, heartbreaking, pray to God that it's worth it? Can I grant you access to every part of me, and what's more, can you deserve it? See, I don't quite know who I'm talking to, but I pray that God would send me a blessing who would answer yes, without hesitation.
Baby,
but I'll be patient, and I'll be gracious. Because I heard that it's better to be single and waiting than it is to be taken and faking. And I refuse to go back to smiling on the outside when my lonely heart is still aching. But when the man in question does find me, he'll find one worth far more than precious rubies and say to himself that this is my dream.
Baby.
Tell his mother that he
has
found his queen.
Baby.
And pray to God that I could be his good thing.
Baby.
Thank you.
That's all we have for tonight. Thank you so much again for coming out. Also, a huge thank you to Umoja for co-sponsoring us tonight. On your way out, feel free to grab some snacks of whatever's left. And if you didn't sign in on your way in, can you please sign in on your way out? Great. Thank you.
Also, thank you to Ashley for organizing this entire event. Woo!